You're listening to Inward with Rabbi Joey Rosenfeld on the OR Podcast Network. Join Rabbi Joey as he guides us through the world and major works of Kabbalah, Hasidic masters, and Jewish philosophy, shedding light on the inner life of the soul.
Okay, so Be'ezras Hashem, we're continuing with the Ramchal's Adir Bamarom. And what we were discussing was the interface between the infinite and the finite, between the world of Ein Sof Kavyachol prior to the revelation, and between the world of Zer Anpin and Nukva, which are the lowest two partsufim, which, as the Ramchal points out, based on the Arizal's Eitz Chaim, is the place that human beings have some element of graspability. The Ruach and the Nefesh, Kud Shebrich v'Shchinte, Mitzvah and Tvila, Torah and Tvila, the body and the Nefesh. Those lower two partsufim, Zer Anpin and Malchus, they emerge from an infinite place. And therefore, what the Ramchal is trying to make clear to us is how the process of the emergence from the infinite towards the finite is not simply a severance of connection, meaning to say there's infinite and then there's finite, but rather the two have to be fundamentally unified in a singular process, which is an impossibility, yet nevertheless, it's a fundamental necessity for the finite to be continuing its inherent connection to the infinite source from which it comes, and to never, God forbid, begin to view finite manifestation or finite expression, which are the lower two partsufim and our experience through them in this world, never to see them as something that stands separate and apart from the infinite light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is revealing itself and vitalizing all of existence at every single moment. And like we said, this was what the Ramchal came to be masbir to us, how it's not two, it's only a singular process. It's a singular process of connectivity and unity that will undergo a triparate breakdown of sorts through the temporal lens, which is past, present, and future, which we said the Ramchal identifies the unity of the beginning, the separation of the middle, and the ultimate unity of the end that comes to retroactively reveal how the middle fragmentation was also part and parcel of the same singular flow of unity. That process needs to be seen in one fell swoop. There has to be absolute unity. And therefore, the Ramchal is coming to answer the question in the Idraba, in his bir on the Idraba, Adir Bamarom, exactly how limitation emerges from the unlimited without the unlimited losing any of its fundamental qualities of unlimited, and without the finitude and without the finite or the limitation being seen as something separate and apart, God forbid, as if it has some standalone existence. And so the Ramchal began to explain to us that the Seder of Hishtalshelus, the process in which finite order emerges from infinite orderlessness, or the infinite landscape, kavyachol, of Or Ein Sof Kodem Atzimtzum. So we began to see that the process of the Seder Hishtalshelus is seen through a process of stages of congealment. Stages of concealment that build upon one another, stages of concealment that only enable themselves to take on more concealment because they're fundamentally rooted in the previous stage of concealment. They're not separate stages. They're not things that appear and function separately in isolation from any other stage, but rather it is a singular process that takes place across various stages of that process. It's incremental. It's a slow and steady descent where each and every tzimtzum enables the next tzimtzum, enables the next tzimtzum, till ultimately, through speaking action at a distance in one way or another, we find that there's been this impossible transmission from the infinite into the finite, and there's never actually been a true separation between the two of them. And that's the secret of the Seder Hishtalshelus of Or Mayim Rakia and Mea Brachos, the Amar Kuf, we said, which is expressed through linguistic expression, Or Mayim Rakia, the refinement of light, the beginning of concealment and congealment through water, which is not yet physical, but no longer operating in the space of refined light. And then that emerges into Rakia, which is the separation and the actual operational space of difference. And then that comes to the Mea Birchen, which is going to be the human being's capacity of now taking all of that limitation and elevating it back up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the secret of 100, in the secret of making a bracha. And the Ramchal said, this is the secret of the Shem Absag Ma Ben, the four iterations, permutations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, which represent this stage of transmission from the infinite into the finite, the Seder Hashtalshlus, and all of the olamos that will come with it. And the Ramchal explained to us that this is the womb of Bina, where there's the capacity of formation, of creating formations prior to revelation, the possibility of concealment and limitation prior to the actual encountering with those limits. Says the Ramchal. And the reason for all of this formation is because all of the limbs and all of the parts and all of the particular elements of the system shift in accordance with their shapes and in accordance with the power of limitation that exists within them. Because once we are now applying some element of constriction and containment to that which can't be contained, in order to ensure that they only apply themselves in one particular place, in one particular moment, place and moment, time and space are always the continuum of Tzimtzum, as the Arizal points out, that Kad Salik Beru'usa Lemivrei Alma, Kad means when, Lemivrei Alma, to create space, there's always time and space, there's always the orientation of being in a particular moment and being in a particular space when we begin to discuss Tzimtzum. So over here, the Ramchal is saying that the limitation is to ensure that each and everything hits its particular mark within the framework of its Tzimtzum. As a result of this limitation, through Kel Shakai in the womb of Bina, which is the source of Zer Anpin V'Nukva, so things appear and remain in the stability in which we behold them through our limited perception. The same is true above. When all of these lights of Absag Ma'ben, of Or Mayim Rikia, and Kuf Birchin, all of the process of infinite expression that slowly but surely takes shape through the womb of Bina and the secret of Kel Shakai, these lights are slowly but surely going to become the more contained expressions of lights, the parts of the system and the partsufim that enable the transference from infinitude to the finite for the sake of both levels maintaining their individualized or apparent individualized setting. Which again, we said, the entire purpose of all things for the Ramchal is Bechira, to create a balanced place where concealment and revelation operate in unison, so that the human being has a volitional power of being Machria, of transforming the entirety of the world into goodness through our own actions, which is the greatest level of unity. So we encounter these spheros and all of their particularization, all the particularized levels. Had they not been formed within this choytem, this place of the ma'avoid de bina, the womb of bina, that yisoid of bina, that place of kel shakai, and that framing and that containment and that boundary and that limit, like a stamp that says this belongs to one person and not some other person, hamagvil chol echad mehem nitiyosav, and this choytem, the secret of kel shakai, the secret of the tzimtzum and the womb of bina, which enables each and every one to come to terms with themselves in accordance with their own properties and the tendencies, so to speak. What would happen without that limitation is the lights would perpetually extend themselves, extending beyond themselves ad infinitum, and there would be no sustainability, there would be no limitation, there would be no boundary, there would be nothing graspable. This is what it means that the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mispashet out, without limit, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu should die le'olamo. Had there not been this symptom of the Kel Shakai, had there not been this pratius of the womb of Bina, which is the place where Gevura emerges from, in spite of the fact that it's not yet oriented towards negativity, but rather the purity of limitation in its ideal form prior to symptom, and when they undergo this formation and this stamp and this limitation, now things operate the way they're meant to operate. Each thing is its own thing and it operates in accordance with its own principles, so that there can be an element of hanhaga, so that historical process can take shape, so that the human being will be capable of finding a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the grand historiosity of it all, which is that secret of the excluded middle that seems to be devoid of the unity of the beginning and the end. That's the tachlis, for us to encounter the hanhag of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the only way to do that is through the limitations and things becoming particularized things, as opposed to maintaining or operating in accordance to the general light that exists at the core of all things, because again, it's still rooted in the infinite, like we said. And so it turns out that there are two things that are taking place here in the Yesod De'ima, and that foundation of Ima, and that womb of Bina, that place of the Tzimtzum of Kel Shakai, for the sake of the development of its children, which are Zer Anpin and Nukva, the two elements through which human beings encounter this world, the clarity of the mind and the confusion of the body. What we see is the paradoxical utilization of that place of limitation, which is always doing two things simultaneously. On the one hand, it's enabling the lights to express themselves, that the lights emerge from Yesod De'ima. They come from that place of the world of Bina. They come from above, from the infinite, down into the world of Keser, down into the world of Chachma, down into that place of Bina, where now there's a stages of impregnation of Ibor, Yinika, and Moichin, so that the human being can properly draw down Moichin, or modes of consciousness, from Bina, which is the Shoresh of what we refer to as Moichin, at least as we experience it during the week, as the Arizal explains explicitly in Shaar Kavanos of Pri Etz Chaim, that this process that's taking place in Bina is a two-step process. It's Hispashtus HaOris, it's the expression of lights. V'hitztayrim b'gvul v'shir haroi lehem. But at the very same moment, it's the engagement and the arrangement of each and every one of these lights in accordance to their particular boundary and in accordance to their particular measure that is appropriate to them. Meaning to say that there's two things that are ultimately dependent upon one another, that in order for something to be revealed, it must undergo a process of concealment. This is what the Arizal says, this is what the Ramak says, this is what the Sefer HaZohar is built upon, this is what the wisdom of Chazal is built upon, this is what Taurus Moshe Rabbeinu is built upon. That ultimately, ha-he'elem hu ha-gilui, v'ha-gilui hu ha-he'elem. That the revelation is concealment, and concealment is revelation, because when we're dealing with the infinite, so as long as it's revealing itself in accordance with its true nature, it's infinite and it destroys any capacity of finite grasp. Everything is negated. There's no more room for Bechira. Avada HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all that exists. Nobody's ever questioned that. Avada Einon Mavado. The question is, to what end can the human being grasp this, participate it theoretically in their own experience, and choose it, as opposed to being compelled to do it as a result of the reality demanding it of us? And therefore, when we're talking about the revelation of the infinite, it can't be revealed unless it undergoes the miracle or the secret of Tzimtzum, which is concealment. Meaning to say that the revelation is concealment. When Hashem reveals himself fully, that's concealment, because I can't fully grasp that. I'm negated completely in all matters of negation, and there's no graspability there. It's Ein Sof Mamish, or Ein Sof Mamish. So were Hashem to reveal himself kavyacha without Tzimtzum, so there would be no graspability. And therefore, Hagilui Hi Hahelem. The revelation of the infinite light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be concealment, because I would not be able to grasp anything. The ha-he'elem hu ha-gilui. And the concealment itself is the revelation, because it's only by way of the constriction and the limitations that are set within that place of the Yesod De'ima, that place of Keil Shakai, that unity of the constriction, the source of the gvuros and the refinement and the particularization and the details and the fragmentation and the boundaries and the bounded nature of this worldly experience as we see it through the lens of Zer Anpin Venuk, which is the lowest parts of Olam HaAtzilus that the human being has graspability to. So it's only going to be by way of the gvul itself. Each and everything must remain what it is. And in that place, that's the gilui. When Hashem engages all of the processes of tzimtzum kavyachol to allow things to emerge in their particularity, our emotions, bodies, people, all of the separation in the world, that in and of itself is the greatest gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the secret of the tzimtzum. And these two things are always taking place in the womb of Bina, this constriction and this expression. This chesed, which is an expansivity outwards, and this gevura, which is a containment within. The tzimtzum and the gilui, ha-he'elem and the gilui, they're always taking place. Those are the two frameworks through which every process needs to go through prior to its expression in any expressed possible way. Ve'ele ha-dvarim na'asem b'koyach shnei ha-shemos elu. And these two processes, which we just described, the trei ha-fach and the paradoxical space of concealment for the sake of revelation, of minimization for the sake of expression, is identified within the two names that we said we find by the Yesod De'ima, which is the secret of Bina, which is the place of formation of Zer Anpin and Nukva, the names Keil Shakai. Because as we're going to see, Keil represents Chesed, expressivity. And Shakai, like we said, is Sha'amar Lo Elam Odai. It's a concealment, it's a restriction. Elama, the expression and the restriction and the unification between the two of them, is in and of itself what enables formation and experience to come into shape. And these two processes are done through these two shemos, Keil and Shakai. First and foremost, this is the secret of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to express chesed. When we look at fragmentation, when we look at reality, it might appear that gvuros are the fundamental motivating factor behind existence. Because as we're going to see, the gvura, the constriction, is fundamentally necessary for anything to be anything whatsoever. And a person can, God forbid, come to think that the gevuros themselves are the fundamental purpose and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to express din, so to speak, or limitation or measure, as if that's the motivating factor, as if it's only about Hashem revealing his infinite capacity to reveal himself in concealment. Because in truth, nobody like the Ramchal made us understand more and more that the essential purpose for the creation of the world, in spite of the fact that it needs the gevura of Hashem, is the chesed of Hashem. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bestow good upon his creatures. And the only way for the ultimate goodness to be bestowed in a way that we can earn it through our own experience and labor and experience it in the moment itself of preparation for it, rather than receiving it in a shameful way where I'm embarrassed or ashamed to look myself face to face, to look the other face to face, because I haven't earned anything, because I'm still operating in that mindset of deservedness or undeservedness. That the entire purpose of Hashem's creation of the world is the goodness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bestow to Klal Yisrael. Oilam chesed yibane. Kale. Chesed debayim kol yuma. The light of chesed that comes with all experience. Kili oilam chasto. The fact that ultimately the only thing that's true is the goodness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The only thing that's true is the goodness, the unlimited tov ha'amiti, the tov ma'od, that's neskala to each and every person at the very foundation and bedrock of graspability, in that place where the mind empties itself out to the secret of faith, but it's a faith that is for the sake of survival. That belief, that knowledge, that identification of that Hashem created a good world and it's for the good. Baruch she'amar v'haya olam. So we start with kale. She'espashta sa'ayres hu b'soyda chesed, the expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's lights downwards, so that we can benefit from them and we can come to understand that Hashem wants us to benefit from them, thereby understanding the depth of the unity of the beginning, the middle, and the end. That's the element of chesed, shehu shem el. Al kein kol ha'oros b'hishpashtusam mispashtim b'shem kel. The shem kel represents chesed, fluidity from above to below, the extension and expression of things downwards with a space of grace and openness, without stinginess, without eyes of competition. But rather, it's the expression from above and the emanation of those lights and the light of chesed. Hashem wants to bestow goodness upon us. Hashem wants there to be a world. Baruch she'amar v'haya ha'olam. Shu shem kael. This is expressed in the shem kael. The shem kael, again, like we said, a name is not just a name. The name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a formula. It's a formula that by way of looking at it, uttering it, thinking about it, contemplating it, living with it, imagining about it, we are in fact arranging and initiating a process that comes about through these shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu kevyachol that draws down more shefa, that actually creates a beneficial increase of the light of godliness, which enables me to be more conscious of God, which enables me to be more oriented towards gula, which enables me to live with more tekifos hadas, to believe that maybe, just maybe, my soul in this limited space in this generation has the capacity to bring Mashiach, as each and every one of us have to see ourselves. It's all through the shame of kale. When we contemplate the Shem Kael, when we think about Kilo Elam Chasto, the goodness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all of these lights are beginning to emerge. They all emerge in the light of Kael. V'achar kach Shakai, and then you find the name Shakai, Noitlim U'mitzayim Mitzirayim, that they're taken and they're formed in their formation. And by definition, that formation is constriction and concealment. So we have the two dual pulsations at the heart of the singular movement of expression, and the interface from the womb of Bina into the worlds of graspability is that we're encountering this paradox of expression and containment at the very same moment. All of this paradoxical process through which the infinite undergoes a process of containment so that it can express itself in a finite way while still maintaining its infinitude, all takes place above in that refined world of Bina and that Yisoid De'ima, which is still something that is not necessarily graspable, but we do encounter it because we draw down from there. And the Ramchal continues and he says, V'hine kale, when you look at the word kale, and again, because it's a formula, the letters themselves are not the irreducible nature of the formula, but the shapes of the letters, and this is already the language of the mathematics of the letters, kavyachol, the mathematica, the kedusha, where it's the very shape and the iterations of the points of ink that form the letters themselves. This is the language that Arizal spoke in, Rav Menachem Mendel of Shklov, different tzaddikim who gave over formula, which mean that the names themselves are deeper than what they even say externally. So now the Ramchal is going to be bringing us into this. Behine kale, what's the secret of kale, which is gematria of 31? Sodo gimel yudin ve'alef. The secret of kale, which is 31, is the secret of three yuds and the secret of an aleph, which is the secret shem sod chub chub, which is the secret of chesed v'chachma v'bina chasadim v'gvuros shehem hamoichim. Now, what Shem Kale represents, we just said that Kale represents the drawing down of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light into our limited containment vessels that enable us to experience the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as we encounter the process of revealing His presence through concealment. The only way we can carry out our job in this world, which is to sift through the concealment of the middle that appears to be devoid of connectivity to the beginning or the end, to uncover the fact that in truth the light of unity is there. But where do these tools come from? Where does the tool necessary for refining the light of HaKadosh Baruch Who in this world of concealment come from? It comes from Hashem Himself. Because the only thing that enables us to sift through the darkness and reveal the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what we refer to as Moichin, the drawing down of the divine light, Kavyachol, and the expressivity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to express into human graspability and consciousness in a way that we can cognitize it, we can theorize it, and we can apply it to our lives in a practical way through the three Moichin of Chachma, Bina, and Das. Chachma is the right orientation of the mind, which is the sudden burst of enthusiasm. Bina is going to be the breaking down, the formation of those ideas with strict nature of a severe mind. And then the chug, the chasadim and the gvuros are the two elements of das. Das is always a paradoxical thing because das, knowing, connecting, drawing down above from to below and below up to above, that secret of das is always a split process between chesed and gvura because knowledge is about the capacity to separate and to connect. If I don't know how to separate, I can't connect. And if I don't know how to connect, I can't separate. So the secret of kale. So we said kale is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the expression that Hashem wants to express His light down in this world. That's the expressivity of the lights of infinitude that are coming down into the Yisoy De'ima through the lens of Kale. And that secret of Kale is three Yuds and one Aleph, which represents the Moichin, because where is this place in the mind that is drawing down the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's in the Moichin. And so we said, it's in our conscious grasp of God. So there's three Yuds and an Aleph. These three Yuds and the Aleph, which make up the name Kale, are going to represent the four stages that make up the three vesseled nature of Das, of experience. Chesed, Chachma, and Bina, the right brain and the left brain, initial thought and breaking down that initial thought, and then drawing down that initial thought that has now been broken down into a natural state of embodiment, which is always going to be split into the two-stage process of Chesed and Gevura. Eitz Hadas Tovara. Das is always a split thing. So that's why we can have only three concepts of mind, Chachma, Bina, and Das, but nevertheless, there's four expressions within it because Das is always composed of two. It's always Chachma, Bina, Chesed, and Gevura. So the secret of the Shem Kale, which represents the drawing down of the light from above for the sake of revealing the infinite within the finite, which takes place within our minds, is we're going to see the Shem Kale in our minds itself. The first Yud is going to be Chachma. The second Yud is going to be Bina. The third Yud is going to be the Chasadim of Das, the expansivity of knowledge. And the Aleph is going to be the Gevuros of Das, as we're going to see. Shem Chub Chub Shem HaMoichin. So we see the Shem Kale, which represents the drawing down of infinite light from above, is also going to be found in an expression in the Moichin themselves, in the mind. Shebesoidam mispashtim ha'oiris, because it's only through the Moichin, it's only through human consciousness, it's only through the contemplation and the awareness and the knowledge of our mind that we're actually able to become the interface that allows Hashem's unified light to find expression and limitation. U'b'shem shakai mitztayrim. And then the Shem Shakai is the one that forms those moichin. Every moyach has a kli. Every way of thinking and operating has a space within the mind, within the cranium itself. And so these two expressions, Kale is the Moichin themselves, is the interface between the human being and the infinite, where the human being is now capable of being the bridge that draws the infinite down into the finite, because the only way we could do our job down here properly is if we receive the tools from above. And that's the secret of the Moichin. That's Kale. That's Yud, 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 Aleph, which is the Chachma, Bina, Chasadim of Das, and Gevuros of Das. And then the Shem Shakai represents the containment of that, the containment so that those Mochin, that awareness of spiritual drawing down from above to below, can find some element of expression and graspability through limitation. The Ikrit Siyuram, and the main form in which these mochin take place, the main way to orient oneself to this incoming light from above that enables me to illuminate the world down here, is going to be, like we said, through the contemplation of Absag Ma'ben, through Asmab, through the four permutations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name that the Arizal utilizes as the fundamental expression of the Seder Ashtalshlis, that Chachma is going to be Yud Vav Dalid, Hey Yud, Vav Yud Vav Hey Yud, which is the gematria of 72. That's the Shem Havaya of Male Yudin. That's filled with Yuds. That's Chachma over here. Then we're going to have the Shem Havaya in the name of Sag, which is going to be Yud Vav Dalid. Hey Yud, Vav Aleph Vav, Hey Yud, which is an Aleph in the middle of the Vav instead of a Yud, which is going to be Gematria 63, which is going to be the place of Bina. So we said we have Kael, which is the expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light from above, and it's expressed in the name Kael, and it's representative of the four stages of Moichin that a person has. So that represents the four names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we spoke about earlier, which is Ab, which is going to be Chachma, Sag, which is going to be Bina. And then in Das, Das is going to be representative of the Chasadim and the Gevuros, the splitness between the expressivity and the containment that we encounter down here, and that's going to be Ma and Ben. Ma is going to be Yud Vav Dalid, Hey Aleph, Vav Aleph Vav, and Hey Aleph, which is Gematria 45, which is going to be the Chasadim of Das. And then the Gevuros of Das is going to be the Shem Havaya of Ben, which is just Yud Vav Dalid, Hey Hey, Vav Vav, Hey Hey. So as the Ramchal is saying again, Kael Shakai is the expression of Hashem's infinite light that descends down here into this world, and it's only through the paradoxical balance of containment and revelation, of tzimtzum and expression, tzimtzum as referred to by the name Shakai, expression as referred to by the Shem Kael, that we're going to be able to draw the infinite down into the finite and allow both planes to take shape. And this, the Ramchal says, by transplanting the entire process into the self, is what the Arizal was doing, is this is representative of the Moichin themselves, which is Chachma, Bina, and the Chesed and the Gevura of Das, which is the four names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that when I contemplate those names, it means Chachma, Bina, and the Chasadim and the Gevuros of Das, which is the secret of Or, Mayim, Rakia, and Kuf Birchin. Again, the Ramchal is drawing us back, and every word of the Ramchal in the Sefer is Mukhrach. Every word in the Ramchal in the Sefer is Machayim Esim, and that's why we're going to take our time, like we said. We're not in a rush. There's nowhere to run to. Hikama Shemos Yesh, because there's lots and lots of names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lots of names. All of them represent a way of contemplating and drawing down into our awareness and experience the invisible process through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself in this world. Each name represents something that rests in the inner interiority and beyond the name itself, yet is touched through the utterance and the contemplation of the name and the secret mystery of faith, of how the finite can be a tool to grasp the infinite, which negates all graspability. So every name represents a ha'ara pratis, a particular illumination. Again, all of these are mashalim. All of these are just language that is necessary to give the human being some element of graspability to the inner experience that remains inaudible and unspeakable. That every name represents a ha'ara pratis upu'ulum yuchedis, a particular action. Ach kulam nechlalam tachas dalet oisiyas shem avaya baruchu. But in truth, ultimately, when we're going to look at things, we're going to realize that every possible iteration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is going to be contained within the essential name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Yud, Ke, Vav, Ke. These four stages of Chachma, Bina, and the Chesed, and the Gevura of Das, these four stages of Chachma, Bina, or what we're going to see later as Zer Anpin and Nukva, which are the Chasadim and the Gevuras of Das, because the Chasadim and the Gevuras of Das go down to Zer Anpin, and then only from there do the Gevuras of Das go down to build Malchus. So ultimately, all four expressions of everything. Everything is expressed in fours, which is ultimately just three, which is only just two, which is ultimately just one, as we're going to see in Pesach. But ultimately, they're all correspondent to the Yud, Ke, Vav, Ke of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essential name, which represents the apex point at which we come to realize that the secret of graspability is its ungraspability, and the secret of the ungraspability is its graspability. And that secret of the Shem Havaya, which is not even composed of actual letters, yet nevertheless it is expressed by way of letters. It's the Shem Havaya Bli Osios that the Tzaddikim spoke about. We go all the way up, as the Imek HaMelech said, to that secret of the Shem Havaya, and each letter of that Shem Havaya has a permutation that the Arizal utilizes, that the Yud is going to be the Ab, and the He is going to be the Sag, and the Vav is going to be the Ma, and the He is going to be the Ben, which is the Chachma, Bina, Chesed, and Gevura of Das. Ki Zehu HaSeder HaKlali. This is the general framework in which all things take shape. And again, like we said, the Ramchal speaks in general principles, but not to deny the reality of the innumerable particular and practical explications of this and the fractalized infinite expression of all things that takes place on the Seder HaPrati. But what we're trying to grasp is the Klal. We're trying to grasp the light of Chesed and then come down into the particularization. HaMenaheg Kol Sha'are Sidre HaHa'aros U'machalkim Prateyam. Everything really in the Seder HaKlali is the Shem Havaya and those four permutations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, which is Absag Ma Ben, with Yudin, with Yuds and Alephs, with Alephs and with Hayes. which represent Chachma, Bina, and the Chesed and the Gvura of Das, which represents Chachma, Bina, Zer Anpin, and Malchus, which represents Or, Mayim, Rakia, and Kuf Birchin, the slow and steady process of congealment for the sake of the transmission of the Tamsitz, the quintessential drop of infinitude that needs to transition down into the finite, Kavyachol, that this is all rooted in the Shem Havaya, and from there all expressions and fragmentation and separation and particularization comes. V'devar ze oid yisparer l'kamen b'siyata d'shmaya. And all of these things will be discussed in the future. B'siyata d'shmaya, with Hashem's help. That's the ikra nekuda in the svarim of the tzaddikim, that they're davening from the depth of their text. B'siyata d'shmaya. V'hine hatsiur hazeh. This shape, this image, this picture, the yud kei vav kei kavyachol, which is not a picture, and this depiction, which can't be fully depictive because it can't depict what it's trying to depict, is ultimately this whole process of Absagma Ben or Mayim Rakia Kuf Birchin Chachma Bina Chesed and Gvura of Das, the transition from the infinite into the finite to fully express itself in the secret of the Shem Havaya, this tziur, this process, and how all of this is taking place in the paradox of Kel Shakai in the Yesoid Deima, which is that point of Bina from which all existence emerges. It is the lock and key that ensures that reality continues to function in accordance with the shape and the limitation necessary for the full and ultimately yichud to come about. Because what would happen is, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu were to remove this kli for a second of tzimtzum, and all that exists is what is the same kale, and there's no secret of Shakai, so then all things would be reverted back to the infinite. There's never an option of things getting destroyed. Only things that are already destroyed or that were created in a destroyed way, so that we can come to understand that they're not really created, rather they're just elements of destruction, which is also a revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by way of destruction, only those things will be destroyed because they never existed to begin with. But everything else that exists, all of the tzior, all of the tfisa, all of the tmuna that a person encounters in this world, the hanhaga that a person is being mityaches to, because like we said, the Ramchal is orienting us towards the value of das tachto and how to grasp with these things in our world and to grasp it by way of the hanhaga, not, God forbid, to negate every ontological building block that the Arizal describes with the full knowledge that there's no way to possibly understand anything other than by way of the secret of faith of reading those words. But nevertheless, in order for us to encounter it and feel it and experience this process, we have to descend down into the worlds of Bria Yetzirah and Asiyah, which is the place of the tzior and the hanhaga and the way that we encounter things. And it's by definition necessary, because as long as things continue to be the way that they are, it's exactly how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to be. The arenu neflos, and things change slowly but surely and quickly and speedily very often, but ultimately the way things are in the particular moment, at each moment, is the way that HaKadosh Baruch wants them to be, and the tzimtzum and the shakai is what's ensuring that all of the limitations are there to enable these lights to express themselves in some organized fashion for the purpose of the way Hashem wants to reveal himself in the world. Im kein, therefore, zehu ma shetzarech lahavin heitiv, this is what we need to understand in a very, very clear way, ledas sidrei umishpatei hahanhaga hazos, to properly understand the order and the rules and regulations and the justice inherent within the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. Meaning to say, by understanding the order in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, we come to understand the way in which things are limited, the way in which things appear to us. And by becoming aware of the way in which things are limited and the way things appear to us, we can extrapolate back to that place of refinement to realize that all manifestation, all shifting, all concealment, all boundary, all tzior, all image, all revelation is ultimately rooted in a place that is unlimited, that's prior to all revelation, that's rooted in the concealment of all concealment, in that place that can never come into revelation, because it represents the infinite light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then we encounter the secret of the tzior, of the Kel Shakai, of the Yesoid De'ima, which is that place of Bina, which is both the containment as well as the expression, that gives birth to the Shem Havaya, that gives birth to our graspability of the four-stage process. All of this is so that we can properly understand what it is that we're trying to do here, what it is that we are trying to orient ourselves to, and what are the ways in which we can best align ourselves to the process through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to encounter him in this world. And as we're going to see, the Ramchal, Zchus Yogan Aleinu, is going to continue drawing us down this path of ever so slightly teaching us the general principles, so that we're armed with the tools by way of the repetition and the simplicity of them when properly described, We're going to come to find ourselves that we've always already been on the path of Rashbi and his Chavraya, on the path of all of the Tzaddikim Amitim, that we are fixing the world from Ad Emas Yosef Alma B'chad Samcha. How much longer can the world stumble upon one singular pillar? And it's Eis Lathosh LaHashem Hifru Sarasecha, and that it's a time to do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we're opening up our Torah, we're allowing our Torah to be fruitful and to enable us to live our lives in accordance with the ideas that we hold most true in the depths of our hearts and our minds, Be'ezras HaShem.
You've been listening to Inward with Rabbi Joey Rosenfeld on the OR Podcast Network. Inward was created by Rabbi Zach Kamenetz and is produced by Zev Gavriel. The music is by Zusha. You can help support the production of this podcast by visiting us online at orpodcasts.com.